Ella. Radio Akwaaba 104.6 FM. This is Radio Akwaaba 104.6 FM. It's another Tuesday again. Those of you who are watching us and who are listening to us on radio, you can also join the conversation on www.planetaudio.org.nz, or you can have your app and also continue listening to Radio Akwaaba 104.6 FM. It's another Tuesday again, and thank God it's another Tuesday again. Our God is a good God. Our God is a good God. Our God is a good God. And the Lord is here. He's here to bless you. Bless your family. That one is coming from the camp of Busola Martin. That one, Arabarebeti, is coming from the camp of Busola Martin. You can go to YouTube, download your copy, or listen and have a share of their wonderful message that was coming through that wonderful video. And I've got a wonderful brother of the Lord in the studio here with me. And I believe your life will never be the same.
Brother Samuel, amen.
The audience are all yours.
Amen. Yeah. Thank you, sir. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you all for tuning in. For whoever may have, you know, may have tuned in at this point in time, should you have tuned in on radio right now on 104.6 FM, or perhaps you are watching live on Facebook, or maybe you are on the website planetaudio.org.nz and you're listening to this. Thank you very much for tuning in. It's going to be a fantastic and phenomenal experience today, because we're wrapping up the series I've been teaching on invisible yet existent today. And the last I think that was 2 weeks ago when I was here, we shared on how you can make the existent visible, how you can make the existent visible in your life. And we started with a few pointers, and today we're going to finish with those pointers. And I pray by the grace of God that by the end of this message, everything that that is in you that appears invisible right now, that God has put in you for you to maximize your potentials, for you to become who you were born to be, I decree by the grace of God that those things will begin to become existent and visible in your life in the mighty name of Jesus. And of course, if you're watching this from wherever you are, leave me a comment, let me know where you're watching from, and I'll be more than delighted to acknowledge you. Thank you very much. I just want to thank God for this opportunity to be alive. God bless you, my brother Eric David, all the way from Australia. Thank you for tuning in. I want to thank God for this wonderful opportunity to be alive and to be able to do this. I'm always excited when it's, when the opportunity comes to be of blessing. And I want to thank my father in the Lord. Yesterday was his birthday, Pastor David Adelowo of the Redeemed Christian Church of God Victory House here in Auckland, New Zealand. The church is paying for this time on radio, and it's always a pleasure to be able to use this time to actually fulfill purpose and of course maximize potentials. And I really, really am grateful. So let's get right into it. We're talking about invisible yet existent. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for every time we hear your word, or every time there is an opportunity to hear your word, there is a potential for freedom. There is a potential for liberty. There is a potential for progress. There is a potential for prosperity. Why? Because your word says the entrance of your word giveth light and understanding to the simple. And your word says we will know the truth and the truth will set us free. Father, we decree by the virtue of your word, I will go out today. Set us free in the mighty name of Jesus. By the virtue of your word, I will go out today. Do something new in our lives in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you and we bless you. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen and amen. Just in case this is your first time joining this series, you didn't join us from where we started from, I will just quickly do a quick recap as to where we started from. We started from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. And the title once again is invisible yet existent, and we read Hebrews chapter 11 verse 3, where it says, by faith we understand that the universe was created by God's command, so that what is seen has been made from things that are not visible. I'm going to read that again because that is really where we're going. You know, that is really the focus of this message. By faith, Hebrews chapter 11 verse 3, by faith we understand that the universe was created by God's command, so that what is seen, what we see, what we are able to see, has been made from things which are not visible. And the point here is that everything you see right now was once invisible. Everything you see right now was once invisible. But what brought them to life, what made them visible, was faith. And that means that there are some things about you right now that are still not visible that will become visible as a result of your faith. I'm not sure whether you catch that. I'm going to say it again. That scripture, Hebrews chapter 11 verse 3, makes it clear, you know, that there were some things, right, you know, which were created. They were invisible before, but now we can see, and faith made them visible. I now say that there are still some things about you that are still invisible. Kariboshta. They are invisible, but guess what? They are existent. And God wants to bring those things to light in you. God wants to bring those things to light about you. God wants to showcase his glory. You know, I was reading a scripture, you know, a few days ago where God said, I will bless you for my name's sake. That means I will bring to light everything about you. I will make visible all that is about you, all that I've deposited in you, the potentials you have, the capacity you have, for my name's sake. And I pray for somebody watching this right now, from wherever you may be watching, you will not die until your potentials have come to limelight in the mighty name of Jesus. You will not die until you fulfill purpose in the name of Jesus. All that is invisible about you right now, God will bring to limelight in the mighty name of Jesus. No wonder the Bible says, eyes have not seen. In other words, it is still invisible. Woo! Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, it has not come to the heart and the mind of men. Listen to this, listen to this. What God has in store for them, that love him and are called according to his purpose. That means if you're watching this right now, what we see about you is not all there is to see. I'm going to repeat that. What we see about you right now is not all there is to see about you. What we know about you right now is not all there is to know about you. What we can glimpse, you know, from your life right now is not all there is to, you know, to catch. There is something much more about you that is massive. There is something about you that the world hasn't seen yet. There is something about you that will shake your generation. There is something about you that will shake even generations to come. There is something about you that will outlast your life. There is something about you that even you don't know about yourself yet. And I want to pray for you that every grace, the intestinal fortitude that you need to birth forth all that is still invisible about you now, God will give to you in the mighty name of Jesus. So that was where we started from. And we confirm from Job chapter 8 verse 7, where he says, though your beginning seems small, even if your beginning right now is not looking like what you could become, he says, yet your latter end will greatly increase. That means even if right now, like I was sharing on Facebook this week, if right now you cannot afford 3 square meals, if right now you can't even pay your school fees, if right now you can't even afford to buy a house, if right now no one is even calling you to minister but you have the anointing, if right now nothing is happening that is in line with a great future for you, even though your beginning seems small right now, there is something about your end that is of a multiplier effect effect. Oh, I don't know if you catch that. There is something about your end that is greater than how your today looks like. And that is why you cannot afford to judge your life by what your life is right now. You cannot afford to make a conclusion based on your condition. God is taking you somewhere. Even if your beginning looks smaller and it appears you're ordinary today, where God is taking you is extraordinary. Where God is taking you is a world stage. Where God is taking you, your mind and your heart cannot fathom yet. So don't let anybody draw a conclusion about you because of your condition. Oh, Makatayaba. Don't let anybody draw a conclusion about your life as a result of what you're going through. Because where you are right now is not where you're going. Where you are right now, in fact, is not even a glimpse. It is not even an iota of where God is taking you. God is taking you somewhere mighty. God is taking you somewhere great. I read about a story of a woman. Of course, some of you may have, I don't know why. Every time I try to preach this particular message, I find it hard to stay on point. God wants to deliver somebody. Amen. You know, I heard about the story of the woman called Grandmother Moses. Some of you may have heard about her before. When she was young, she had this powerful gift for hearts, you know, for painting. And she started to paint, and she showed it to one of our teachers. And that teacher said, "This is rubbish. I mean, you should never even try to paint again. You have no gift in this area." So the woman, you know, would just, from time to time on her own, just paint, you know, and keep it and not show anybody. Because, of course, they've said that she can't do anything, you know, painting. She's not good enough. So she would just put the painting and keep it and you know, in fact, at the point in time, she stopped and she joined the status quo. Like I was preaching on in church on Sunday. You know, some of us have joined the status quo. You're doing what is normal, whereas God has called you to be abnormal. Permit me to use that word. You have joined the normal people. And what do normal people do? They just, you know, they will just finish school. They will finish school and get a job and get married and then continue life. And they will be living every day from hand to mouth, getting a job and eating and dying. You know, some people live, pay bills and die. There is no influence to their life. They are not doing anything to shake their generation. God has not called you to be ordinary. I'm going to shout that like you need to hear it again. God has not called you to be ordinary. So you are there. You are saying, "Samuel, I don't even recognize my talent yet." Yes, your time is now to understand and recognize that God has not called you to be ordinary. There is something about you that will lead to you becoming extraordinary, and you need to find that thing. If you need to send me a message, send me a message. We will help you find that thing. There is something about you that the world must hear about. There is something about you that the world is waiting for. There is something about you that the world cannot wait but get. There is a problem in the world that you're bound to fix. There is something in the world that you are born to fix. How do I know? The Bible says in the book of Genesis that there was no rain on the ground because there was no man to till the ground. That means every single time God creates somebody, it is because of a need in the world. And like I always tell people, the world has need of you. And I hope you will not miss that in the mighty name of Jesus. Let me get into the message before I lose my, you know, I'm always excited about this. And I made mention of something that would make you get this very well. When I hold a seed in my hand, and I show that seed to you and I say, "Excuse me, what am I holding?" You probably say, "Oh, Samuel, that's a seed. You know, that's a grain of a corn. That's a, you know, whatever." You know, but literally, I am not just holding a seed. I am holding a potential forest. I am holding a potential, you know, set of thousands of trees that can fill up, you know, a large expanse of land. That is what I am holding. You may be seeing a seed, but there is something beyond the seed. If I plant that seed and I water it and I till the ground very well and I make it nice and I make sure, you know, tons do not kill the seed, and the seed grows up and becomes a tree, and then there are fruits again, and I take even the multiple more seeds, and I begin to take those seeds again, and I put them into the ground, and then I have more trees with more seeds, and I take those seeds again, and oh Maka, what you would realize is everything came from that one seed. There is something about you that the word has not yet seen. There is something about you that is invisible right now, that if God would just open your eyes like in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 3 to see, you will discover that you are a world changer. Like I was preaching somewhere recently, you are a world changer. You are the kind of person that the day God will open your eyes to discover yourself and discover who you are in partnership with the Holy Ghost, in partnership with the Holy Spirit, in partnership with God, no one will, like God told Joshua, no man will be able to stand before you all your days. You will walk in an environment and you will not care who is looking. You will not care who is standing. You will be delivering your gifts like you are crazy, like you are mad. There will be something about you that no one will be able to understand, because you are walking at a realm that is existent, but once invisible. I don't know. I hope you are catching this, because until you catch this, you will live an ordinary life all the days of your life. But I believe, by the grace of God, for whoever is watching this, you will not live an ordinary life in the name of Jesus. You will not live below your potentials. If you believe that, wherever you are, say a loud amen. And I said that our God is an omnipotent God. You know why? Omni means always. Potent means full of power. That means God is a God that is always full of power. And God has made us to understand, the Bible has made us to understand, that we are created in the image of God. That means you are also omnipotent. You are full of power. You are full of power. What you are going to achieve, what you can achieve, eyes have not seen yet, minds cannot fathom yet, and you will get there in the mighty name of Jesus. And I mentioned, you know, that last time, five ways you can bring the existence to become visible in your life. All the things that God has given you, how can you make them visible? How can you begin to walk in the promise that God has for you? How can you begin to live to the fullest all that God has deposited inside of you? See, everything that is a part of your destiny has already been given to you. God is not trying to give you a new gift again. Listen, everything you need to become a world changer is already within you. Everything you need to become that person you were born to be is already within you. They are just lying dormant right now. That is why it appears that they are invisible. That is why it appears that, you know, no one can see them. But they are existent. They are only invisible. So how do we bring those things to lamplight? How do we begin to walk majestically in the realm and revelation of who we are? Who God has made us to be? And I always tell people, purpose is past tense and present tense. God has already determined your future. It is now your responsibility to enter into that future. And so shall it be in the mighty name of Jesus. Number one, we said vision. and I quote from my favorite scripture, Daniel chapter 10 verse 7, where Daniel shouted and said, I alone saw the vision, and the people that were with me did not see anything, and so they were afraid and hid their faces. Mark, powerful scripture. That means if you don't have a vision for your life, you'll be like those people who are running up and down. You'll be like those people who just live ordinary life. You will be hiding your face. They will say there is financial crisis, you will hide your face. They will say something is happening, you will hide your face. They will say something is going on, you will hide your face, because there is no vision. And I always tell people, vision is your opportunity to escape the limitations of your reality. Vision is your opportunity to escape the limitation of your environment. If your environment is limiting, make sure you have a vision. You will discover you will move beyond the limitations of your environment. Number two, we also talked about knowledge. I'm not sure if I was able to expand on that a lot. Knowledge is very important for you to move. For you to move from all that is invisible about you now that is existent to making those visible, you need knowledge. Like I was sharing on Facebook this week, I said, money exchange hands on the platform of value. One way to ensure that you're delivering value to your world reward is to keep learning and keep learning and keep learning your craft until the day people start looking for you for what you know. Hey! When the day people start looking for you for what you know is the day you know you are beginning to fulfill potentials. And I pray for anyone watching this right now, you will fulfill potentials to the fullest in the mighty name of Jesus. If you believe it, say amen. You need knowledge. You need knowledge. The Bible talks in Proverbs chapter 15 verse 4 that the discerning heart seeks knowledge, but the mouth of a fool feeds on folly. Proverbs chapter 24 verse 5 says, a wise man is full of strength, and a man of knowledge enhances his might. That means a man that has knowledge is powerful. A man that has knowledge is powerful. The world will say knowledge is power. They got it from the Bible. It is because a man of knowledge is powerful, is full of strength. And I pray by the grace of God, you will become a man of knowledge in the mighty name of Jesus. I always say this to people, that desire without knowledge is not good. You must have knowledge. If you desire to become anything, if God has put a dream in your heart, if God has put a vision in your heart, you need knowledge. Keep learning, keep learning, keep learning, keep learning. Let the yearning in your heart be that of learning. Let the yearning in your heart to be to know more, to know more about that thing, to know more about becoming that thing. And you'll be amazed how you become. I don't want to fall into the same trap I've been falling in ever since this series started. I want to finish the rest of this message. Number three is to understand. I have understanding. And how does understanding come? It is to go back to the source. Understanding comes by going back to the source, so that you begin to connect the knowledge you have and the vision you have with what God is saying about you. My goodness, there's nothing that beats understanding. No wonder the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4 verse 7 that if it costs you all you have, get understanding. Wow! That means if you have to pay out of your nose, out of your teeth to get understanding, get it. Why? Because when you get understanding of who you are, Mark, yeah, nothing can hold you back. No, every opinion of people about you becomes too late. I'm going to repeat that. Oh, every time I talk about this, I'm always on a level that I myself don't understand. Every time, I'm going to repeat that, and I will repeat it slowly. When you have an understanding of yourself, when you have an understanding of where God is taking you, the negative opinions about you of people the negative opinion of people about you becomes too late. That someone is calling you a dullard becomes too late. Oh, I was sharing the story of grandmother Moses the other time, and she joined the status quo. She became ordinary, and she got married. Of course, you can Google the story yourself. She became married and got had children and everything until she was 70 plus or something. And then the husband died and she became bored. And children have left home. She became bored. There was nothing to do. And then she went back to arts. And remember where we started from? She went back to painting. She started painting again at 75. Yeah, 73 or something like that. I think 73 or 75, whatever. You know, she went back to her painting. Oh my goodness. And she began to paint. She began to paint. And she began to paint. And then suddenly somebody displayed one of her painting. And the first one, I think, you know, sold for like $1.3 million at the age of 75. That was how, at the age of 75 or something, she came to limelight. That was how she became a celebrity. She was she's the grandmother. That's why they call her Grandmother Moses. She's the grandmother of what we now know and what we now know as landscape painting. She knows the painting so bad, so well, that at the age of 75, she was painting so crazily. And no one, by the time she died at 78, 3 years later, I was told, from what I read, I think she was worth over like hundreds of millions of dollars in 3 years. Imagine if that stupid teacher had not given her that silly assessment, you know, of the fact that she was not good at painting. If that teacher had not, that, I don't know whether you are watching this today and one stupid teacher, I'm a teacher myself, sorry, maybe I shouldn't use the word stupid, but some teacher has told you that you're not good enough, you are a dullard, and you believed that report, and you believed that story about you, and as a result, your potentials have lied dormant in you. I pray for deliverance for you today in the mighty name of Jesus. Grace to begin to capture all that God has plans and mind for you will begin to happen in the mighty name of Jesus. Before I run out of time, again, number four. And I just want to read that verse, Proverbs chapter 20, verse 5, about understanding. The purpose in a man's heart is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. A man of understanding has depth. A man of understanding has depth. There is no limit to what a man of understanding knows. There is no limit to what a man of understanding can do. That is why you need to seek understanding. And number four, wisdom. Wisdom is another way to make the invisible and the existent visible in your life. Wisdom. You need the wisdom of God. John chapter 13 verse 7 said, now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Because wisdom is application. Wisdom is application of what you know. Wisdom is application of what you understand. It is important to apply what you know about yourself, what you know about God, and what God has told you about you, and begin to apply it. I always tell people, no matter the amount of information you have at your disposal, if you refuse to take action, if you refuse to apply it, you will never make progress with your life. It is important that you apply wisdom. It is important that you apply, you know, everything that you're learning, everything that God is bringing your way and God is teaching you. I can read a lot of scriptures to you about wisdom. You know, Proverbs chapter 10 verse 23 says, doing wrong is like a joke to a fool, but wisdom is pleasure to a man of understanding. See how that moves up. Amen. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but fools despise wisdom. Don't despise wisdom. Don't despise wisdom. It will be folly at the end of your life to discover that all that you know, the only thing that was needed, that was left, is application, and you did not apply it. It will be folly. It will be too much folly. Don't let that happen to you. Apply all that God is teaching you about yourself, about your life, about your future. Begin to apply. Somebody will say, but I don't have money. You don't need money to apply what you know. I wish I could shout this into someone's ear. You don't need money to apply what you know. Just start. Start. Do something. Go, that thing that God has been laying on your heart, go and start it. That thing that God has been calling you to do, go and start in a small way. You don't need money. What you need, first of all, is the will, is the desire to start. And God has already given you. Go and start. Don't worry what people are saying. Don't worry about the discouragement around you. Don't worry if there is a limitation in your environment. Go and bat forth your vision. Go and start in a small way. I was telling people about, you know, the other day in church, about how someone was telling me about the limitation environment. And I told the person, I said, excuse me, without due respect, that is not going to limit me. I will move forward. And the same thing, you too. Choose that nothing will limit you. You will fulfill your purpose in the mighty name of Jesus. And lastly, faith. Faith. The Bible says in the book of John chapter 11 verse 40, and Jesus was rebuking Martha. He said, did I not tell you that if you believe, if you have faith, you will see the glory of God? My goodness. That means if you believe, if you have faith, everything about you, everything that God has said about you will come to limelight. Everything that God has said about you will come to life. There is nothing that can stop you if you are a man of faith. No wonder the Bible says, to him that believes, all things. Oh, praise God. Let me end here. All things are possible. All. So whether you are trusting God for nations, like the Bible says, ask me for the nations and I will give to you. Whether you are trusting God for the nations, whether you are trusting God to deliver a whole country to you, like our, you know, our father in the Lord, Pastor E. Adeboye, trusted God for a whole city. Hey, and God gave him the city. Whatever it is that you are believing God for, the Bible says, if you believe, all things are possible. No matter what you are believing God for, if you believe, if only you would believe. And any man of faith that you see is crazy. People always call a man of faith crazy. Why? Because they will be acting when they cannot see anything. They will be taking the step. Peter was like that man of faith who saw water and was telling Jesus, Lord, should I come? There are other 11 disciples inside the same boat. I'm sure they will be like, Peter, are you crazy? Why is your own always different? I mean, 12 people are here inside the boat and you are telling Jesus if you should come. Can't you see there is water? And I pray for someone watching this right now. I don't know the yearning in your heart. I don't know the desire in your heart. But as you step out in faith this week, as you step out in faith to do that thing that God has placed in your heart to do, God will begin to make waters to become pathway to your glory in the name of Jesus. If you believe that wherever you are, say a loud amen. And so shall it be to you in the name of Jesus. The Bible says very clearly, one of my favorite scriptures says, these signs shall follow them that believe. Makayaba. This sign shall follow them that believe. That means if you do not believe, nothing will follow you. Nothing will happen to you. And I pray that God will begin to deliver you from unbelief in the mighty name of Jesus. I just want to pray for anyone watching this right now. God will begin to make that which is invisible about you but existent to begin to come to light in the mighty name of Jesus. In this life, you will do great things. In this life, you will do mighty things. Everyone that has confined you to the ordinary realm, God will begin to deliver you from the ordinary realm because you are born to be extraordinary. You will become extraordinary in the mighty name of Jesus. No evil will befall you all the days of your life. You will bath forth your vision. You will bath forth your purpose. You will maximize your potentials. You will live fully and you will die empty. The grave will not take your potentials away from you. In the name of Jesus, you will not be a generational thief. You will bath forth and deliver all that God has proposed and destined for you to deliver. In the mighty name of Jesus, every gift, every talent that God has given to you to shake your generation and even generations to come, you will bath them forth in the mighty name of Jesus. Nations will hear about you. Generations will hear about you. You will be a history maker in the name of Jesus. If you believe that wherever you are, say aloud amen. And so shall it be in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. If you're watching this right now and you have not given your life to Christ and you are thinking that all that I have said is possible, listen to me. It is not going to be possible. You know why? A man that is in combination with the Holy Ghost is a powerful force that is unstoppable. That means if you don't have Jesus in your life, you are stoppable. So you need Jesus in your life, and if you're there, you're that honest person, you're saying, Samuel, I want to give my life to Christ. I want to accept Jesus into my life as my Lord and Savior. And you're there, just pray this prayer after me and say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for yet another opportunity to hear your word. I believe in your word. I accept you into my life as my Lord and Savior. Heal my land. Forgive my sins. Help me to live fully and die empty. To live to the glory of your name all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, I have prayed. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer, you've just gotten born again. Please, wherever you are, find a Bible-believing church around you and make sure you are attending and you're faithful and you're serving. God bless you in Jesus' mighty name. Or, of course, you can reach out to me as well. God bless you. Amen and amen. Amen. And just before we go, in November, starting from tomorrow, by the grace of God, if you're here in New Zealand, my wife and I, we're undertaking a project and we're writing 30 articles for anyone that is suicidal or depressed. Please make sure that you find me on Facebook. Of course, you're watching me on Facebook right now, so it means you found me. So please follow those articles, especially those who are here in New Zealand. Of course, if you're not in New Zealand, feel free to share those articles as well. But if you're here in New Zealand, I'd like you to share any of those articles. You know, you never know. You could be saving a life. You could be delivering someone from the shackles of suicide and depression. Please share the articles and God will bless you. And if you're looking out for the hashtags for those articles, the hashtags include 30 articles, just hashtag 30 articles, 30 articles, hashtag no suicide NZ, hashtag 30 reasons, sorry, 30 reasons, hashtag 30 reasons. Look for those hashtags, and I pray by the grace of God, as you save a life, God will continue to save your life as well. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Over to you, Bro Kojo. God bless you, sir.
Hallelujah. Your case is different. My case is different. Though the world may say casting down, though the oceans and seas may roar, though the fires may burn the world, this is what I know. shut, I bet me go in the fiery furnace. But the fire did not burn undead. And when the world says casting down, I will say there is lifting up, because my case is different. My case is different. Oh, I'm different. Oh, I'm different. Oh, different. My case is different. Oh, my case is different. Oh, I'm different. Oh, I'm different. Oh, hallelujah, I'm different. My case is different. That's a great time. Take my place.
Different.
I had the victory.
Different.
Over the adversary.
I am different.
And when the world says casting down, I say there's lifting up, because my God is my light. No evil will touch me, no trouble around me. Works of my hands are exempted from risk. No evil will touch me, no trouble around me. The works of my hands are exempted from risk.
My case is different.
Me, And it will be
This is Radio Akwaaba 104.6, sponsored by the Ghana Association of New Zealand. Once you come on Facebook, James Entry, you've joined us on Facebook. MLN, you've joined us on Facebook. Once you join us on Facebook, please feel free to share the video among your friends. We're going to have a wonderful conversation this morning, this evening, this afternoon, depending on wherever you are watching us from. This coming right from the camp of Odisheba and Kwakumanu. Okay, Radio Akwaaba 104.6 FM. Okay, so now I'm going to go right into the studio here today we are talking about two topics. The first one is about the youth violence that's happening in Ghana at the moment. Of course, the last week or a couple of weeks ago, there's been a rise in a youth agitation in the country. And I'm going to read some information here from here. So this one, it's a news article. This one says MPP youth. So there's a reporter at Oman FM stated that MPP youth beat me as police stand there and watch. And this one coming from Sami Awuku. He says security couples breaking Akufo-Addo's house. What he was saying last weekend was that he think whatever increase in violence among the youth in our society at this moment, especially the MPP youth, the agitation, the security couples are the one disappointing the government, the president. And says Mustafa Hamid says stated it be in response to the agitation from the youth. Okay. Okay. Sorry, guys. Oh my goodness. Okay. So Mustafa Hamid was saying, be patient, you will have your share. That's the response to the MPP youth agitation. And this one is a MPP youth group beat assembly member at ADSO. And this one is from the president to the police, deal with hooliganism. And Sisala DCE flees irate youth as lawless continues. And in Karaga, the police is saying, we don't have men to fight MPP boys. Police PRO. News on Ultimate FM. And then This one from the president of Ghana, he says we will deal with lawlessness in our country. Ima, okay, so I think there's an issue here with the... Sorry. Okay. So, Ima, right, in, we're coming to the studio here. Thanks for joining the conversation. Thanks for sharing your video. The, with all the agitation going on, the president of Ghana is assuring us that he is going to deal with the violence and the behavior in okay, Ideas Man, thanks for joining us. Ideas Man, it's a senior man in Kuwait. Thanks for joining us. So so the president is saying he's going to deal with the issue or the challenge that's happening in our nation. But then the question now I'm asking is when. When are we going to see any tangible response? Because what happens among the MPP youth, the Delta Force, the Attorney General decided to discontinue the case in court. So some are saying the behavior from not only the current government but the previous government in the way they deal with youth agitation has not helped in the way the government, the way these youth are behaving. Because what is happening is they know that if they get caught by the law, nothing's going to happen to them. Somebody's going to step in. And I think we said this here the last time that probably the police are also protecting their own job as well. And so, Ima, what is your take on this?
So, to start with, I think it's unfortunate that these things still occur. But again, you see, it only goes to show that we still have very weak systems in our country. And I think the unfortunate bit is that the youth are causing all this mayhem, they are causing all this destruction to people who are doing their lawfully. People who have been mandated by law to go about their duties are being prevented to do so by the youth who feel that things must be done, they might be done in the way they think is right. And again, I come back and say that it shows how weak our systems are. And you see, people will say the president should just stop talking and act. How would the president act? Would the president get down there, arrest the youth, take them to court himself, prosecute them? What can a president do beyond talking? Beyond saying that the police should do what is lawfully right and what they are mandated by law to do. Now you see, you look at it and there's nothing much to say than to say that we expect the police to be up and doing. We expect the police to be up and doing. If somebody goes foul against the law, arrest the person. Put the person before the competent court of jurisdiction. Let the court decide whether the person is at fault or not. But if you continue to go on this where we think that the people are politically biased and therefore the police does not want to get involved with them, then these things will continue. And then you see, the society will blame the police will blame politicians, politicians will blame police, and it becomes a cycle. But somebody has done something wrong, arrest the person. Charge the person. Get the person and let them see that this, if you do this wrong, this is what these are the consequences for you. And there are good examples of policemen who stand firm against the politicians. And they stand up so firm to them that we all end up singing praises for them. But a good number of them are so scared of their own livelihood and they don't want to get involved with anything that has to do with the politicians. But for politicians to be accountable, systems must work. A policeman's responsibility is first to the state. His office lives beyond 4 years after the government is over. They stay in office and they continue to work years after years after the politicians are over. So why should we continue to kowtow to the pressures of these politicians? And it goes back to the point that we have put so much power into the president. The president appoints people. He appoints the IGP. And so the IGP is so much ingratitude. He feels that he should be grateful for the position. And so how do you expect the chief of the police to argue or disagree with the sitting president? And those are things I think that we have constructed for ourselves and we are just enduring the consequences of them. It's unfortunate. It's unfortunate. It's not the best. But again, you want to see the law enforcement agencies working. We need to work. And I think it goes beyond just the political aspect. We are hearing issues about chiefs preventing policemen from working. There are circumstances where kids have been involved, but the chiefs are preventing the police from doing their work. And the police sit back. And so I think the police needs to be proactive. They need to show that this is our mandate and we are going to enforce it. Otherwise, you come back every day, sit down here, look at the issues back home, continue to talk about it. Tomorrow, the same issues will come back again.
Okay, so why don't we so now we're saying the people, the police, so everybody's talking about the police. So the president, Samuel Oku, the youth organizer of MPP, was also talking about I'll be putting the blame on the police and say that the police, the security forces should act. But don't you think that the president also is saying the same thing, that he's charging the police, the security people to act? Don't you think we are being unfair to the people? Where we know where the problem is, that Samuel Oku can talk to his boys and tell them that, you know, what you guys are doing is unacceptable. Or the president can act in, or the way we treated the Galamsey issue, that the president should step in and put measures in there to try to drastically deal with this issue.
Okay,
but,
who created those people in the first place? Because somebody created them. Mm. So, who created them in the first place? That's why we need to ask questions. Mm. Because these boys didn't just appeared. Someone created them. So the person who created them should be the one that should have to be blamed.
So who created?
It's up to the person who created them, because I don't know them. But I'm very sure it was someone who created them, isn't it?
You see, sometimes if you say someone created them, mm-hmm. you see there are groups, and sometimes some of these groups can spring up not because somebody created them. Mm-hmm. People, especially the youth, are looking for opportunities to get into some of these actions, get to be known by politicians, because that's the main way by which some of them can begin to make money for their survival. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes people put themselves together, mm-hmm. just to champion a cause and to find a living out of.
Because you call them what are some of the names, the groups? What are some of the names?
No, it's not, what is happening now is not just by some groups. Mm-hmm. This are discussed sometimes. It's just something that is in response to what they think is not being done right. So people trying to prevent others from doing what they have to do. In terms of just saying that we think that is not the right thing to do, and so we want you to do it this way. Mm-hmm. So it's not just because of those, like
So maybe there's some communication going on which is not going on properly. That's why these boys are behaving like that, isn't it?
I wouldn't want to say that, but I think that if you want to go there, I would rather say that, you see, regardless of who formed the organization, mm-hmm. who formed the groups, mm-hmm. that's why it's a policeman. That's why it's a policeman. What is the work of a policeman? And you see, we don't vote for policemen. Mm-hmm. We vote for politicians.
Yeah, we do.
The policeman's
position. And therefore, for a long time, the politicians have not been able to allow the police to really do what they're supposed
to
be doing.
That's the part that I don't agree. What do you mean by the... See, let me give you a classical example.
Okay, I've come,
a classical example. Mm-hmm. Kofi, this man, ACP Kofi Boakye, was
yeah.
in Kumasi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At the time, I was still in Kumasi. When he came, he said he would not be the regional commander of the police service in an area where there are no office of policemen to operate. He single-handedly, mm-hmm. with the support of the community, started building offices in Kumasi. He did it. Mm-hmm. You see, the point is, we continue to look at leadership from politicians. Mm-hmm. Leadership is where you find yourself and what you do differently. And we don't see it. The policeman does not need the policeman to work. They don't. The point is, you see, people have become so... We live in a country where we think that my survival is because of that person. And so this person, mm-hmm. without him, I don't survive. Mm-hmm. When we begin to see beyond that, and that's nothing but a crazy, the former boss for, I think, Narcotics Board, mm-hmm. and he said the same thing. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That for me, my life goes beyond the politician.
Yeah. Which is true.
Which is true.
But we've not been allowed ourselves to operate.
Who will allow us? And that me, you see, I don't want us to... Who will allow you? Who should allow you? The politician or who?
Anybody. We don't allow ourselves. In the first place, if someone does something and that person's been arrested, mm-hmm. someone will just go and say, oh, he's my boy, therefore leave them. And police can't really do much about it. And it happens all the time, isn't it?
You see the point, and then that's the thing. Mm-hmm. But any policeman who has been firm, who has resisted pressure mm-hmm. from the chief, from the people, mm. they respect him because they know that as for this man,
he will
mind you.
Okay.
And they respect them.
Okay.
You see, the point is that most of us are giving ourselves excuses because we tend to benefit from that. If a policeman accepts, if you go and talk to a policeman mm. and say that, oh, I know Ima, He might smile my boy.
Yeah.
And so please let him go.
Okay.
Are you sure that if the policeman is Kojo and Kojo lets me go, you not pay Kojo?
I'll pick on you.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So that's the thing. You see, we have created for ourselves excuses.
So it's about...
And we are making
so
it about of those excuses.
Yeah, so it's about time for us to break all these kind of excuses, isn't it?
Absolutely. Okay, so then, what we are saying is that the policemen should be up and doing. In that case, what I mean is, if somebody commits the wrong... Mm-hmm. Your work is to arrest.
Because it got to the time...
prosecute.
Even it got to the time that even assemblyman can override a police officer. You see what I mean?
But if you allow yourself... If you allow yourself... They will run you, and it's the same with the media. And I remember when I was, we used to say it, we don't work for the media, you work for the people of Ghana.
Ghana, yeah.
And we are accountable to them. And so we respond to them. Mm-hmm. We don't respond to you. Of course, if we have to, we will respond to you appropriately. But when people then, when you sit back and you allow others to control you, then where lies your power? So but you have been mandated by law.
Law, yeah,
to do work. That, and so you have to do your work.
Yeah.
For me, there's no excuse. Talking about the vigilante groups and whatever, see, these boys, the point is, they will still be around because people need to survive.
Yeah.
They need to work. The only way to get easy access to politicians is to show that we are for you, we stand by you, we are doing all this for you. Sometimes they don't even know these politicians. Some of them are very far from them. They don't even know them. They don't get in touch with them. And they do these things sometimes to hurt these politicians as well. So the police should be up and doing. If somebody has done something wrong, deal with the person. Why should we go back and begin to give all these excuses
and all that? Yeah.
Okay. So looking at the way our system works, I mean, the president. It looks like from what Samuel Oku was the youth organizer for MPP who is complaining. The president is complaining, and if you look at
that means automatically the power has to go back to the police and the people has to
because
do their
they
work,
have the mandate to do it.
Yeah.
So what role has the president? I mean, besides the president has been calling. We've been hearing all this for the last 10 months.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's been going on for a long time.
And the last time, Delta Force, the boys were arrested, the Attorney General made a decision to drop the case.
Mm.
So now, the signal you are sending to the law enforcement agency is that, yes, we have arrested them, you are the one in charge of prosecuting them.
Yeah.
So if you decide
to
drop the case, I mean, the impression you are creating is that the signal you are giving to the police...
The Delta Force issue, these people, they were fined. The case was not dropped.
Mm-hmm.
It went through. They were fined. And the challenge is that people are saying that the fine is not too huge. It's not enough to deter people from doing that. That's okay. At least something has been done.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you see, if you think, and that's the part, that of course, that's the conflict. Mm-hmm. But the Attorney General can go back and appeal that decision and say that we think that they were not charged enough, so please let's charge them more. But again, the Attorney General would not do that because it's her own party in office. So that's a conflict of interest.
Yeah.
But what we are saying is that
that's what
at least
is going on.
At least these people were arrested. They were arrested in court. Some boys went in there, took them out. What happened? The police went back, arrested them, and brought them back. That's what we are saying.
Mm.
Whether it is symbolic or it's real.
Mm.
Let's see that action is being done. Simple.
Mm-hmm.
Let the police go after whoever goes against the law. But you see, when we continue to... Some of us talk about the police is being... We are not allowing, they're giving them space. We are helping the police in giving us excuses. For most of them, in most of these places, like when the DC has been involved and all of that, what happens is that in most cases, the police tend to benefit from these people. And so when the DC, the chief comes and says, "We please this one, leave us, this one, don't do that," they don't because they benefit from them.
Yeah, so there was a discussion from the DC.
Absolutely,
right?
They benefit from them. But if you were firm and you knew that your livelihood does not depend on that people, you'll be firm. Now, Kofi Boakye always said, for him, he is working for the people. And so whether you are whoever, don't come to him and ask him for anything. He will not. He will do what he has to do. And he did it. He did the same to Kwakese. He will do it. And if you begin to do that, and people will respect you and know that this man is a no-nonsense person. And so you stay away from him. But people continue to give us excuses.
Yeah.
We buy into it.
So let's look at some. I was talking to a friend earlier on. Some say, okay, the IGP report to the president.
Mm-hmm.
The IGP is in charge of the police. Mm-hmm. So somebody definitely is not doing his job properly or her job properly.
Mm-hmm.
So now the police, we say they are not doing their job properly. The police are supposed to be reporting to the president or to authorities, to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So is that person who's supposed to be reporting? we're receiving report from the police or the IGP, is it not having got a role to play in ensuring that these things get done once and for all? This message is dead at once and for all.
Or maybe this bus has been promised and they need to be settled or whatever.
No. In a typical governance structure,
yeah.
You don't expect that the president to make micro decisions. So he can't micromanage the police. And that's why he has appointed the IGP. So the IGP does not report to the president. He advises him on issues relating to interior in terms of the security of the country, within the country. And so the president cannot make decisions on how the police should function.
Yeah.
That's why he has appointed the IGP. It is the IGP's responsibility to show that, or to show leadership in terms of what needs to be done and how it should be done. Of course, the president can decide and say that you are not doing what I set you out to do well, because we can have these are your key performance indicators. Are you achieving them? If you're not achieving them, what do we do? Should we put you aside? Should we get another person to do it? The president can decide on that. But the president cannot decide the day-to-day running of the police service. That must be done by the IGP. And again, you see, the IGP himself cannot also micromanage somebody in Sisala, somebody in Brekum, or somebody in Sunyane, because he has also appointed his district commissioners of police who are there to make those decisions at that level. What we are saying is, you see, there should be leadership. When you begin to ask, this was for at what point are we going to create this society? We can't. There's no point to start.
It starts from the individuals.
Yeah. Absolutely. Starts from the individuals. If you are responsible for Brekum, and you know that in Brekum, these are the challenges I have, are you going to be firm and say that for me, I want to do something different? If you come before me, the law must apply. My role is to look at the case as it is, prepare the docket, send it to the court, leave it to the judge to make a decision. That's my role.
Yeah.
Have I done my role as expected of me or not?
Yeah.
So, but I know there will be challenges. Of course, the chief will come. Sometimes their girlfriends, their wives, sisters, they will all come and try to persuade you.
I went to the police station and
you saw his girlfriend.
No. there was a woman that I didn't even know, and she also came to make a case against someone. And the police officer didn't even have time to listen to me. She asked me, "Is that your sister?"
And you said yes.
I have to tell the truth because I didn't know that lady. Is it? So they are also not really. Yeah. Anyway, the police needs to stand firm. And the way I see things, everybody, Ghana wants to move forward. And there are so many obstacles that needs to be taken away. So at least now, very lucky. Now we got all this kind of WhatsApp and Facebook and all that. So if somebody's doing something right, and for some reason he cannot get it right, we can always go and then support that person and say, "Hey, this man is trying to do his job, but because of you, that's why he cannot do his job."
Absolutely.
You see what I mean? So it's about time. You see, so anybody who is in a position this time are very, very lucky. You know, so they just need to just get along and do their work. You know, we can always put fingers at the police and say they are not doing their work right, because I know they can do so much.
Okay, so whilst we are, of course, I mean, So we are saying that one, the IGP got a responsibility for his people, the district commissioner, everybody got a responsibility. Yes, so the impression, so what is happening, it seems that there's a systemic breakdown somehow.
Absolutely.
For a long time.
The question now, are we safe as a country? If we can't get one aspect of our society, one institution to function properly, are we safe?
Oh, no, not really. Not really, because as I said, the system has been breaking down because we have overlooked things, and we see this thing going down. Look at this. We call something, what they call it, landguards, all these issues.
Yeah.
You see what I mean? So it's piling up. So it's about time for the police to do something about it. You see, now we talk about the data force. Then very soon you're going to talk about, we had this Fulanis. Yeah. We had this. You see what I mean? And we're looking up to the politicians. So it's about time, as you say, what you said. I'm working for the people, not a member of parliament. You see what I mean? So if you can all get this in the sink into our brain, it really help. You see what I mean?
Okay, yeah. So it really helps. So now it's what is starting to happen? It's starting to appear that there's a bit of a systemic breakdown. Okay, Isabella Mwate, good work, and then we got
Veronica Inti Awa says, hello, watching from Australia.
Okay, so now it's appearing that there's a bit of systemic breakdown, because those who are supposed to be doing their job to protect our people are not doing what they are being paid to do. And where does the bar stop? Who makes the final call? And I think somebody at one point will have to pull the straw and say, enough is enough. Something has to be done about this police issue. So the next topic we are going to talk about is corruption allegation in Ghana missions abroad. Corruption allegations in Ghana mission abroad. And Kumasi Nyame in the U.S. Made this video last week and made allegations about issues happening in Ghana Mission New York, and some people in different part of the in Europe have also made a similar complaint about how these missions are treating Ghanaians or how they are going about their activity. And the last time we came here, we did a video about the Mad Kings discussion about what is happening in Germany. And I think it's about time that maybe let's have a look at what has happened. And I think after this video, I saw in Parliament, the Speaker of Parliament have set up a delegation after this video came out to go to the different missions abroad to see what is happening. So what happened was that from what Kumasi Nyame was saying was that in US, people started complaining that when you apply for a visa or a passport, when you pay $100 or $200 for your fee, when the receipt comes, there's example, if you pay $200, when the receipt comes, there is $100 receipt, or there's $150, or when you pay for an
fast passport
express. Sorry, that was the word I was looking for. If you pay for express,